about in Acts chapter 18, our individual journeys, and Olivet's journey as a church. Will you pray with me? Well, Lord, as we stop now and we pause to consider and look at this text, we look at what transpired in Corinth. Lord, would you help us that we would see those things that are necessary for our lives and for our life here at Olivet. Lord, we thank you for this church, for celebrating 141 years. We thank you for all the people that are gathered here today and those that have gathered over the years. Lord, may we get a glimpse of your direction for us, and may we reach out in love to you and to those around us. In your name, Jesus, amen. As we have been working our way through the book of Acts, it has unfolded the history of the early church. And as we also read in Acts, there were three missionary journeys that were taken by the Apostle Paul. On these three journeys, that each lasted several years in length, and I'm sorry, but I hear an echo. Do you hear that as well? I find those things distracting. What do you think? Sorry. Okay, good. All right. Then I'll try not to be distracted. We need to hear God's word. And it's so easy to have things that distract us, isn't it? So what can we do to help focus? So these missionary journeys taken by Paul were each several years in length. And Paul's purpose in these journeys was to preach the good news of Jesus. In the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, they go from Antioch to Cyprus, then to southern Asia Minor, and then they finally return again back to Antioch. The second missionary journey began after the split with Barnabas, with Paul taking Silas and then setting out with the purpose of strengthening the churches. Then God directed them to Greece, bringing the gospel to Europe. At Philippi, if you remember, the ministry team, they were beaten and imprisoned. And they were there in jail singing, praising God in the midst of this ordeal. God caused an earthquake, opened the doors of the jail, and this amazed jailer and his family come to faith in Christ. But the government officials begged Paul and Silas to leave. Then they went on to Thessalonica, where some Jews believed as well as many Greeks. And unfortunately there was a violent mob, so Paul and Silas had to escape at night and went to Berea. Next, as we saw last week, Paul traveled on to Athens. And there he preached on Mars Hill, proclaiming the only true God, whom they could know and worship. After Paul left Athens, he went further south to Corinth. And that's what is described here in Acts 18 that we're looking at today. Corinth was the third largest city in the Roman Empire at that time. It had two harbors, one on the east and one on the west. And the city, because of that, was a very prosperous commercial center, well known for their wealth and their culture. The city was also well known for its immorality, and that was related to the cult of Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love. The temple to Aphrodite had 1,000 female slaves who wandered the streets at night as prostitutes. Promiscuity was so rampant that to use the phrase to act like a Corinthian became a synonym for debauchery and prostitution. As you read through the book of Acts, you see that Paul didn't stay long in a lot of these cities that he visited. And the reason was because he kept running into opposition. His visits were often cut short because of angry reactions. And later on, when Paul writes back to the Corinthians, he says how when he first came to Corinth, he came in weakness and fear and with much trembling. When he arrived, he didn't know what he would have to deal with. Would he again face angry reactions and just be run out of town? So we read in Acts 18, 4-6, each Sabbath found Paul at the synagogue, trying to convince the Jews and Greeks alike. And after Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul spent all his time preaching the word. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed and insulted him, Paul shook the dust from his clothes and said, Your blood is upon your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go preach to the Gentiles." Here again, he was rejected and opposed. But Paul ended up staying in Corinth for a year and a half, longer than he had spent in any other place during his missionary journeys. And one of the main reasons that Paul stayed in Corinth so long was in response to a vision that he had one night. Acts 18:9-11 says, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. 'Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack or harm you, because I have many people in this city.' So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God." The Lord is so gracious. I would assume that Paul needed this encouragement after being opposed and scorned in the synagogue. Paul is directed to stay in the city, to not be afraid, to not be silent, because God was with him and God would protect him. Here in Corinth, we also read how Paul met Aquila and Priscilla. This was a couple that had been living in Rome, but needed to leave because the emperor Claudius decided to rid the city of Jews. Paul established a friendship with them, and they became business partners. And we're told that they are tent makers. And the word tent making can also be translated leather working, because most of the tents in those days were made out of leather. So they would have made tents, and they would also have made a variety of other leather items. Paul worked as a tent maker in order to make his financial needs. And that way he could speak without having to ask for money. But when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, they not only brought encouraging news about how all the believers were doing and growing in their faith, but they also brought Paul a large financial gift, which enabled him to stop tent making and to devote all of his time to preaching the gospel. During the year and a half that Paul stayed in Corinth, some great things happened, with God opening the door for ministry with Crispus and with others coming to faith. The text says in verses 7 to 8, "Then he left and went to the home of Titus Justus, a Gentile who worshipped God and lived next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in his household believed in the Lord. Many others in Corinth also heard Paul, became believers, and were baptized." In Paul's journey, he faced a lot of challenges. When he arrived, he didn't know where he would stay. He didn't know how he would make money. His travel wasn't all planned like we tend to do. You know, searching for the right hotel, various places to eat, you know, what are we going to do? What did Paul need? I don't know about you, but I hate packing for a trip. It's so difficult to decide what to take. You know, I don't want to take too much, but I want to make sure that I have everything that I'm going to need. My dad used to say to me, "Okay, do you have your ticket? Do you have money? Okay, that's all you need. If you've forgotten something, well, then you can buy it when you get there." Well, these days it might be a little more difficult or complicated than that. You've got to make sure you have your passport, and if you're taking any medication, well, you've got to make sure you have that too. But we certainly can save a lot of headache if we just get back to the basics, focusing on what is essential. As we head out on the journey before us, individually and as a church, what do we need to pack? What are the essentials? Today, as has been mentioned, we celebrate Olivet being in existence for 141 years. What a journey. Such amazing history. Yes, challenging at times, but through it all, we have seen God's faithfulness. You know, just looking back at this past year, think about what the journey has looked like. VBS last year, we had over 80 kids. The Chill on the Hill, where it had poured, so we had to do it in the gym, but ended up having a great time together. Growing in our relationship with Makarios. Over the fall, we built a house here on the platform, focusing on the building blocks of our faith. The growth of Stephen Ministries. Two sessions of Tuesdays Together. The first where we offered a study on Galatians and love languages. and the second setting psalms and boundaries. We celebrated many regular events like Christmas and Easter, and even had a blue Christmas service this last year. We've done some building improvements. We have insulation now. We updated our fire alarm system. Kevin's been doing some painting. We have a new church database. There were baptisms, people moving on, and the loss of loved ones through death. As we embark on this next part of this journey, what do we need? As we consider this journey of Paul, our personal journeys, and that of the church, what are the basic things that we need? What do we need to make sure that we pack, that we have in our suitcase? I want to propose three things. First, we need to hear from God. And we do that through his word and through prayer. Paul arrived at Corinth discouraged. And after the interaction with those in the synagogue, he was probably ready to leave. But God provided him with encouragement and direction, telling him to remain there, that he was at work, and that God could trust him, and that Paul could trust him. I know that there are some of you here who are looking for new job opportunities. Some of you have just retired, and some of you are embarking on new health regimes. What is it for us that God is calling us to? It's a question we each need to ask, and the answer will vary for each one of us. Paul previously had a vision where God's direction was different from what he just gave to him in Corinth. And that vision is recorded in Acts chapter 16. And on that occasion, Paul was directed to go somewhere that he hadn't planned or expected. Ricky has sensed God leading him somewhere that wasn't planned or expected. We have had the pleasure of having him for 2 years and can be so grateful for that time. But now we need to release him to follow God's direction as God moves him on. For me personally, last May I was seeking direction. And when I was away at a leadership conference, I sensed God affirming me to stay. Through scripture, through the talks I heard, through prayer, I felt God saying that my calling right now is to be here at Olivet. Different visions for which we need to be obedient. At Corinth, Paul was given the message to stay and to work with the people there. And I appreciated N.T. Wright's comment about this. He said, "One of the many lessons Acts teaches quietly as it goes along is that you tend to get the guidance you need when you need it, not before and not in too much detail." On our journey, we need to hear from God. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." God speaks to us through his word that has been written down and preserved for us. And he speaks as we come to him in prayer. Prayer and reading the word grounds us in what he wants for us. Through scripture and prayer, God not only gives us direction, but encourages and builds us up, giving us strength to continue on in the journey. God reassures Paul, giving him comfort and direction. Guidance when he needed it. Maybe not with a lot of detail, but enough to know what God wanted him to do. For our journey as a church, this is to be one of the basic things that we focus on. Reading and teaching God's word in sermons and in study groups. It's important that we read the Bible together as a congregation, as we gather in smaller groups, and that we spend time in his word individually. And that we don't neglect the importance of prayer. As prayer is coming and talking and listening to God, so we hear his heart and sense his direction. The second thing that we need to have for our journey are friends. Some kind of support system. Aquila and Priscilla were a huge encouragement to Paul. They worked together, supporting one another and sharing in the successes and the challenges. They shared faith and they partnered in ministry. And it ended up being a lifelong partnership. Later in Romans 16, Paul writes, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." We need friends, people to walk with us along this journey. In our times of discouragement, friends can be a huge blessing. They bring support, encouragement, partnership, and even can challenge us when we need it. I'm so grateful to have a group of friends here. We were part of a small group that was formed many years ago, and we haven't met the past little while as a small group because of how I needed, and others there needed, to start investing in starting Stephen Ministries. But some of us do get together every once in a while for a meal, and I have so appreciated their support and encouragement. One of them recently said to me, "We've got your back." It's so valuable to have others walk with us in this journey, to connect with people here. We can provide and receive the support that we need for the struggles of life. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia that we are to carry one another's burdens. In this way, we'll fulfill the law of Christ. Getting involved in a small group, as well as service opportunities, you know, such as volunteering with events like VBS and coming up with a Chill on the Hill. Those opportunities give us a chance to meet new people. And often it's these newfound friends that can be those people that we rely on when we need that time of encouragement. The third thing that we need for our journey is a purpose. Paul didn't go to these places just to be a sightseer. He went to share about the love of Jesus. He went for the purpose of evangelism and to strengthen the believers in their faith. Whether we work or not, we are all full-time missionaries, wherever we may be. Ruth Siemens writes about some creative ways that people have reached out into those hard-to-enter countries, and helping people hear the gospel. And she mentions a couple who translated the New Testament for Muslims while he taught in a university and she tutored English. A symphony violinist in Singapore that had Bible studies with fellow musicians. And an engineer in the Arab Gulf region who set up a Christian bookstore. So many creative ways of things that we can do. In our places of employment, our school, where we live, wherever we go, whatever we do, whomever we meet, we have opportunities to spread God's love in our words and in our actions. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Which is the greatest commandment?" To which Jesus replied, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love others. Love God. That's all there is to it. Everything else hangs on these two commands. Our actions are to be out of love for others, reflecting God's grace, sharing our faith, letting Jesus shine through us. As we look at all of it, we are not here for people just to come to church as sightseers, but to all work together. All of it has this as a mission statement. We affirm our mission is to glorify God as a people united in love and committed to continuing the ministry of Christ our Lord on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. How we fulfill this mission may look different from year to year. For us as a church, as we consider these three basic things that are essential for our journey, it's first hearing God's direction for us, reading His word, and praying together. With Ricky leaving, we have to discern, well, what does God have next for us? Do we look for an associate that may have a different portfolio? As connecting with others is the second thing that we need in our suitcase, well, do we need to focus more attention on expanding and deepening our small groups? Do we need someone that could really help us do that? We also need to take a look at how are we doing at reaching out to those around us? How are we doing with ministering to the people in the houses next door? Are we faithful in telling people the good news of Christ? and actively loving one another. Our purpose is to help people come to believe and follow Jesus, receiving his love and reaching out his love to one another. How about you personally this morning? Are you feeling discouraged? Uncertain of the future? Afraid? Paul faced these kind of challenges on his journey. Life does carry with it pain and frustration that is part of a fallen world. But God wants to offer you and me direction and encouragement. We need to look for these in his word and in prayer. Establishing friendships, those with whom we can travel on this journey together. And then looking for new opportunities to reach out to others with the good news of Jesus. Here at Olivet, we have a church covenant, and that covenant is posted over there. And this covenant gives us a framework of that for which we strive and look to do to be together as a local church. And as we celebrate another year together, I would like us to read this covenant. If you are visiting, don't feel like you have to read this, as really it is asking for a commitment. So if you are willing and able, I would ask you to stand as we read this together, and it'll be projected for you. Having been led by the Spirit to profess our faith in Jesus Christ, and having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do now solemnly and joyfully affirm our covenant with God and with each other. We affirm our mission is to glorify God as a people united in love and committed to continuing the ministry of Christ our Lord on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pledge to serve Christ in the community of this church by discovering our gifts and talents, by becoming equipped to serve, and by developing a servant's heart. We will act in love toward one another, refusing to gossip about one another, remembering one another in prayer, sharing each other's joys, and sustaining each other in times of distress. We aspire to be a community of the concerned, where the lost may find Jesus Christ, sinners may find pardon, seekers may find meaning for their lives, and where all who come may find welcome. We shall strive to be responsible church members through faithful attendance, by growing spiritually, and by godly living, giving regularly to the ministries of the church, participating in the ordinances of believers' baptism and Holy Communion, and following the leaders we ourselves have chosen. We will share the responsibility of this church by praying for its growth, by inviting others to attend, and by warmly welcoming those who visit. We shall seek to be obedient to Christ in our daily living, within our homes, in our work, and while at leisure. We shall strive for attitudes and actions which will reflect God's Spirit working through us. Believing that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, we shall seek to avoid experiences and habits which defile the body and hinder our witness. Bound together in the broader community of faith, with all who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we shall work and pray for a spirit of unity among all Christians. Believing that our call to be a church is a call to witness in the world, we dedicate ourselves anew as servants of the Lord of all life. Whenever people are in bondage to ignorance, poverty, fear, or prejudice, we shall strive for justice, freedom, dignity, and peace. Whenever people are separated by barriers of hostility and distrust, we shall be ministers of God's reconciling love. As we pledge our support to the work of our missionaries throughout the world, we commit ourselves to the mission to which God calls us all. Acknowledging our human frailties and ever seeking forgiveness, we profess our need of the Holy Spirit and commit our lives to Jesus Christ and through him to the care, the judgment, deliverance, and the mercy of Almighty God. Amen. And please have a seat. And I asked if Sandra would, at this point, bring us the prayers of the people.
As we move into the prayers of the people, we'll start by praying together an anniversary prayer that was written specifically for Olivet. You are welcome to join in the prayer with me, to listen to it, or to simply read it as it will be up on the screen. I'll also be praying again using the word oikos throughout the prayer, reminding us that we are God's family, God's church, and again, permeating all of what we're doing this week into this one part of the prayer. And finally, because we are a body together, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together at the end. And so let us pray. Praise God for those men and women who founded our congregation in New Westminster, constructed church buildings, and with boldness committed themselves to continue the ministry of the gospel to our city and province and many parts of the world, despite economic difficulties, fires, political and theological changes. Praise God for our church covenant, which binds us together under God's grace to serve him and his mission through our love for his world and for his children of all ages and races. May the Holy Spirit affirm our confession of calling and of the commitment as he blesses Olivet in the year ahead. May he root and ground each of us in love as we strive to care and pray for each other and in our unity of service for our Lord and King. Let's pray. Almighty God, and Father God, we have taken time today to remember your faithfulness to your church here at Olivet. We acknowledge your faithfulness in the past, and we hold to your promise of faithfulness for the years to come, as a church, as a family, and for ourselves. You are a faithful God. And you are a God who loves families, families in all shapes and configurations. You are an oikos loving God, as we will learn in VBS this week. And we pray for the VBS program. We ask for fun that is safe, for peace for leaders who are nervous, for children who will be excited and rambunctious. Please fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Speak to each that is involved, child or helper or prayer, and permeate all we do with your love. May we all come to know you more this week. Father God, you love your oikos, your children here and worldwide. And so we pray for all CBM churches and the work that Canadian Baptist Ministries and the Sharing Way are involved in around the world. Give wisdom to leaders and protection for all in danger. Guidance by your Holy Spirit to all as they work towards building your community, your family. And we pray for those who don't know you, for those we know need you, but aren't aware of it yet. And for those who have been hurt by the church, when we haven't been at our best at loving. Forgive us, Lord. And despite us and still through us, may your faithfulness and grace reach all who you are calling to know you more. And Lord Jesus, even as we pray for and celebrate your love for us here at All Event, our Christ-centered oikos right here, we look ahead and we wait for the day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus, you are Lord of all, through the power of the Holy Spirit, calling us to the Father as the one united oikos of God. And let us affirm our reality and our hope by praying together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
For the benediction from Ephesians, peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. And may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.